I will put my trust in Jesus as I lay upon his breast. I will take my comfort from him. I will find in him sweet rest. For there is no other fountain or I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. All pain will leave his aching body as his sweet healing flows. Demons tremble at his presence.
In Jesus' name they have to go.
For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. And then one morning in that city I will rise to sleep no more, in God's presence live forever. All sin in that will then be yours. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. All there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. Not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend that's so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No night so dark but his love cannot cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever a saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Our sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was ever a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us the bliss of heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one.
We're still out on the battlefield. What did Brother Brown say?
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Yeah, he had a tough road to hoe, eh? Compared to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
All we can do is we preserve the truth that they brought us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's not easy, eh?
Mm-hmm.
To going against this complete stream of things.
Mm-hmm.
He had his battles, Brother Jack had his battles, we got ours.
Mm-hmm.
But ours is easy compared to theirs, eh?
Yes,
You don't have to put up with all the rhetoric, with all the negative forces. Yeah, we got spiritual negative forces, but he was people always pulling on him, eh? Even Brother Jackson, they were always pulling on him. They were using him. One day I saw him get mad. What do you want here? Get your own revelation. I guess it was wearing him down. We don't have to put up with these.
Yeah,
we just closed the door on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right in their face.
Yeah, you can really feel it when people drag you down.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Even your own family. Like I know when Ernie was coming here, and I really felt something within me being dragged down. And then we had that conversation, have you been to Jesus? You know, if you have not been to Jesus, you're just going to drag other people down.
Yeah, like we care. We got each other's back, eh? I was probably 1,000 miles away, and I could see him wearing you down. He'd come here Sunday when I was out on the road, and he would pretend like he's part of it, you know? In the meantime, I could see him wearing you down, and because I have to deal with that situation. When I came in, back, and he was here Sunday, and we just dealt with that situation. Because, see, what happened, he crippled us, eh?
Yes.
It was crippling him. And, see, we deal with these issues. Then this other guy came in, and he thought he's going to invade. Well, we dealt with him, eh? And this other guy comes around, and we dealt with him. And then the family, well, we dealt with it. Completely cut everybody off, and now it's just the two of us so far. And if somebody brings in, the Lord let me know, hey, if I bring somebody in, they'll be an asset, not a dragging down. That's why we can put in these fights. That's why we can fight against the devil, against his hordes, because we don't have all that, like Jesus said, or like it says in the Bible, lay aside every weight. And the sin that so easily besets us. We put our effort in and our energy to lay aside these weights, these unnecessary weights. Yeah, it's not easy. You got to tell your family off. You got to tell your... but without that weight, you can easily, you know, it makes the fight a lot easier.
It does, yeah. You're like, you go swimming with the weight on, you'll drown you. You get rid of all the weight and you can make it.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and it is. It's we that add extra burdens to us and that are not from God.
We just got to get rid of the trash, like you were saying last week or sometime. Once you got rid of all the garbage and all the fog and all the trash, then you could crown Jesus King of Kings, you know? Once you got through the muck and the mire.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our, we're in the battlefield. Easy compared, but it's easy compared to a lot of people, but it's more articulate.
Mm-hmm.
We can't put up with family members. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If they're not pulling the same weight, or the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Brother Jack's had to put up with his family. But they were dragging me down, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It was not required of him what's required of us.
Mm-hmm.
People said I'll never make it. They said I'll never see it through. But they don't know what keeps me going. I guess they never have met you. All my life was in shambles until the day you came along. You turned my tears into laughter. Lord, you gave me a brand new song. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You give me a smile. You touch my heart, you touch my soul. All the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing ever found. Voted likely not to prosper, what's left hanging over my head? You'll never count for nothing. That's what most people say. I've been known to be unsettled. I never stayed around too long. But Lord, you're the treasure I've been searching for. And Lord, I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never you touch my heart, you touch my soul. All the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. Voted likely not to prosper, was left hanging over my head. You'll never count for nothing. That's what most people say. I've been known to be unsettled. I never stayed around too long. But Lord, you're the treasure I've been searching for. Lord, I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You give me a smile. You touch my heart. You touch my soul. All the bridges left behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. Get something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a message. I was given to Brother Branham continue with Brother Jackson. And here we're holding on to the truth. Mm-hmm. The things that have been, like, give you that scripture, remember the things that have been taught. Continue thou in them. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's our battle.
That's right.
Continue in the things that you've been taught. Go against them.
Those are the scripture that the Lord gave me when all this confusion started happening. And, like, I didn't know what was going on, but
None of us knew.
Uh-huh. He gave me those two scriptures, continue thou on. And the other one was, from such withdrawal.
See, when the Lord told me to pick you up, a little trucking, and thinking about that. And then he said, without you, there is no program. The program doesn't exist without you. But they know what you're up against. I can't fight this fight alone. Up until then, I was pretty much everything solo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this battle is going to get so tough. I'm not going to be able to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
He told me to pick you up, and I tell you what. That's when the attack started.
Mm-hmm.
Inside and outside. The family. Oh, yeah. And then the people we come out of, they won. Oh, that's a good thing that they put us on their outs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on the ins that's any value, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So they put us on the outs. And we're hid in the cleft of the rock. We're about the Lord's business. We're doing the mischief of His will, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But see, they thought, even this one preacher, he got up, we need to pray for this one guy. Meaning me, he just didn't mention my name. He's in sin. He's walking in sin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Judgmentally.
Mm-hmm.
Like brood beasts, like it says over in Jude.
Yeah.
They're like brood beasts. They talk evil of things. Of dignities, you know, things that God is doing,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it in all broad daylight. Think they're doing God a service. But see, the mischief is will, you know. That's where we're at. And now the Lord has honed us out to deliver that meat and due season, to hold the line in this truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just playing a game, eh? And we're still holding on. We've got something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. You sure do.
The devil would like to take it away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending these tugs, trying to wear us down, and we got to get rid of them. Then he comes in another one, and they're trying to demoralize us, and got to get rid of them. Now, we're in the battlefield, eh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm building a home in heaven
to live in when this life is o'er.
Will you look to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore?
Around me many are building homes of beauty and wealth.
But what of a home in heaven, where will you live after death? Are you building a home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Long is the road that leads you to the beautiful home up there. It's work when your home completed, death may be lingering near. I'm building a home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er. Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Are you ready for His coming?
Will you move to that heavenly home?
I'm building a home in heaven to live in when this life is old. Will you move to that beautiful city and live where Christ evermore?
There'll be a pity at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine robe I'll find my pity at the end of the road. Down here my steps grow weary, and the road gets rough and long. Sometimes I think I'm all alone, but I still carry on. But a brighter day is coming, and it thrills my heart to know there'll be a pity at the end of the road. There'll be a pity at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine robe I'll find my pity at the end of the road. Some folks are planning futures as they search for earthly gain. They're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in vain. But I'm laying up my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there's a pity at the end of the road. There'll be a pity at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine robe I'll find my pity at the end of the road. Some folks, they're planning future as they search for earthly gain. They're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in vain. So I'm laying up my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there's a pity at the end of the road. There'll be a pity at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, put on an all-fine robe I'll find my pity at the end of the road. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine robe I'll find my pity at the end of the road. Open your eyes, ye bells, God so dear. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Filled with vain pride, earthly pleasures have drawn them away. But if we're his children, we must bear the chastising rod. For those that he loves, he will teach them to trust and obey.
Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is a nigh at the door. Some people believe that his coming is still far away. They often grow weary and so often they lay down their load. But just up ahead are signs of a much brighter day. So don't lay down your load, John. We're too near the end of the week. So open your eyes, you bell-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Some people believe that his coming is still far away. They often grow weary and so often they lay down their load. But just up ahead are signs of a much brighter day. So don't lay down your load, child. We're too near the end of the week. So open your eyes, you bell-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand.
A lot of people doesn't realize that the Lord is standing in the shadows watching what everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
That he leaves everybody their space, you know. You want to go out and be wicked? go for it. And he's standing and observing everything. If you want to be holy, go for it. He notices that too, you know. Mm-hmm. He's standing in the shadows. But, you know, sometimes the phrase, I need my space, mm-hmm. it lets people have their space. Have at her. What is that scripture about that woman that came to Jesus? One thing I request from him. I want my son, one on the right, one on the left. Mankind, he never changes. It's always the same. Go back to the days of Nimrod. Let's make a name for ourselves. Unregenerated man. You all get the same old traits. Well, I'll read this in Mark when we go back to Matthew. It's all involved in this here. Charade. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, charade. And that's the human nature, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You got to see the human nature. Then James and John, that's in Matthew or Mark 10, mm-hmm. 35. Mm-hmm. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. He said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Permit one of us to sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup? And here it is. Are you able to drink the cup? I drink, we're baptized with the baptism I experience. They said to him, We are able. Then Jesus said to them, You will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I experience. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now when the other 10 heard this, then they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them and said to them, You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those in high position used their authority over them. But it is not this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Where's the one in Matthew?
Matthew 20. Verse 20.
I'm trying to bring something out that the human nature is still like the same thing today. It doesn't change. Only the born again experience. And even if you're born again, you got to fight with that thing for the rest of your life. You got to endure to the end with it. Because it all wants to rise up to be this big guy in the block. I'm trying to get to a point here. Then came to him, here it's a family affair. And now it's really getting involved. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And here, I'll read this other translation. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling down, she asked him for a favor. See how desperate it is to be that number one guy?
Mm-hmm.
He said to her, What do you want? She replied, Permit these two sons of mine to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom. See, they taught this earthly kingdom, you know, mm-hmm. like David and things like that. They didn't figure on a heavenly kingdom. They wanted him, when he gets to be king of the Jews, that he will be able to sit one, board them right up there, you know. Jesus answered, You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink? He said to him, we are able. See, it's all about, are you able to drink the cup? He told them, you will drink the cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to give. See, it's not Jesus to give. It's not, you can't jockey for a position. That's why I always said, oh, my only ambition has ever been, all I ever wanted was to find my place in Christ. But God, back with that great counsel that he had a place for each and every one of us. And all we got to do is find that place. We don't have to jockey for a position. Mm-hmm. The only position we got to jockey for is the place that God created us to be in. He told them, you will drink my cup. You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to give. Neither is it, it was not their way to, their job to manipulate themselves into that position. Rather, it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father. See? Mm-hmm. Back in that great council, God had a place prepared for everybody. And the only place there is satisfaction if you and I can find our place in Christ. Now when the other 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those in high position used their authority over them. See, that's the way the natural man operates, like with tyranny and with, they have a way of manipulating power trussles. It must not be this among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm just trying to say, this people are jockeying for a position. They want that position. They want that number one position. It's built in, to have a kingdom. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, as my Father gave me my kingdom, that's the way I'm going to give you your kingdom. You'll have to go through the same channel that I had to go through to get it. And That was my thought for today, but something else came up during the week, and we're going to have to address it. If we don't address it, nobody will. I guess he went on the internet on Faith Assembly, and he saw that Paul Ellis's son-in-law passed away. Went to bed at night and didn't get up in the morning. I think that's how it worked, isn't it?
Yes.
And I didn't even know. I know that Brother Alice, Paul Ellis's daughter, younger daughter, he only had two daughters, one married to that Meeks guy. And I didn't even know she was married. But I took it pretty personal because when my son wanted to get baptized, we took him down to Faith Assembly to get baptized, 21 hours driving. And then she got baptized at the same time, so it's a little personal to me. There's three of them got baptized, my son and then some other guy and then that girl, she was only maybe 13. So I've been she's kind of close to my heart in that respect, so to speak. And she seemed to be a very decent kid, so I observed it enough. We found out she's married with two kids, and I don't know. Did they have a pretty good marriage, or what did you make when you did you go on Facebook or anywhere? Did you see how
she looked very happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a happily married couple, and then I heard that he passed away. He didn't get up in the morning. And I'm trying to find the mind of the Lord, day in and day out during the night. I thought about, Lord, what happened here? What's going on? What's the scope of this thing here? Mm-hmm. What say you, kind of thing? And I didn't, you wonder because, like I say, there's a young couple, two children, and now the man doesn't get up in the morning. Now she's left alone with two kids, and she got to fend for herself, more or less, kind of thing. And it's not a small thing,
mm-hmm.
especially being Brother Jackson's granddaughter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it caused me to, you know, seek the mind of the Lord. Lord, what is all this about? And what's going on? Because the Bible says Jesus has the key to hell and death.
Mm-hmm.
That person didn't get up. Jesus is 100% aware that he didn't get up.
Mm-hmm.
Because a sparrow doesn't fall without his knowing. Neither did that man didn't get up. Jesus knows all about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the purpose of it? That God would allow this young couple to bring them in such a disaster now, you know, like we mm-hmm. sing that song, Man isti nachgerad in ihn und glick und große Not. Man rau an alig na de hinger is and durst de tod. Like, he got up in the morning and imagine her, like disaster hits that family. And then he doesn't get up. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's it now. She's done. She's all by herself now. It's not a small thing. Especially, like I say, being Brother Jackson's granddaughter. And there's more to this than meets the eye. I looked at that and observed it, and I'm trying to find, like I say, I'm trying to find the mind of the Lord. The Lord is all so much aware of what's going on. And I didn't get an answer. And then that time you put that message on the internet, on YouTube, put it on YouTube. So I decided that message, what's it called now?
Nobody can stop what's coming.
Yeah, nobody can stop what's coming. And I figured I'd listen to YouTube. So I went to bed and I put that on, that message on. But I kind of like fell asleep. And I fell asleep, kind of like half asleep and half awake.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just, you know how it is, you're subconsciously asleep, but you're not sleeping,
mm-hmm.
you're awake, but you're really not awake.
Mm-hmm.
Then you were reading this here on that message.
Mm-hmm.
You were reading it out of Isaiah chapter 1. I'll start in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord had spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, you are doing the reading, but as I'm listening there, it's not you that's doing the reading. You were doing the reading, but it's like I heard Brother Jackson
mm-hmm.
doing the reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, like back there when you were reading, it's God complaining about the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's Brother Jackson complaining about his own family.
Mm-hmm.
And not only his own family, about faith assembly. The people that he's been preaching to for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
To try to bring a bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, I'm not making this up. This is what I heard. I knew you were doing the reading, but yet, like I heard Brother Jackson doing the reading. And it was, like I said, back then it was concerning, God was complaining through the lips of Isaiah how the children of Israel had made it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Brother Jackson is complaining and through his, how his own family has made it for him.
Mm-hmm.
Has done nothing in the last 18 years to try to mutilate him and erase everything memory from him. And here he is. This is Brother Jackson speaking now. That's what I heard last Thursday when I put that message on. And I fell asleep kind of during the song service, I guess. I fell asleep. And then when you were reading, I just woke up kind of like, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And here is Brother Jackson. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Is this speaking now? Brother Jackson speaking. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. See? The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's, But Israel, but my children doth not know, my people doth not consider. I'll try this other translation here. Listen, O heavens, and pay attention, O earth, for the Lord speaks. And if we don't see it, there's not one of the bread jacks to claim. They're just going to go fall asleep, and they're going to go down that route to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Alan has taken them to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like I say, if we don't say this, it's not going to be said, because we're the only ones that knows about this. But it's actually going on that the Lord would, during the night, would reach down and just rip that guy out and hinger is and those that don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can't make it serious enough. How serious this is. I'll get to it. Listen, O heavens, pay attention to earth, where Brother Jackson speaks. I raised children and I brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. What's this going on down there? These two, that imposter down there, taking the people out to hell and death.
Mm-hmm.
I have raised children, brought them up, and they have rebelled against me. They're in on this whole charade that Alan, that imposter, is bringing, tried to erase every memory of Brother Jackson and Brother Branham.
Mm-hmm.
An ox recognizes its owner. A donkey recognizes where its owner puts its food. But my children, and the people that I preached to for 40 years, I'm putting this in there because that's exactly what I heard during the night when I woke up, kind of semi-waking up, and I heard Brother Jackson doing the speaking, and he was complaining, and he was letting me know what he thinks of why that girl's husband, young couple, why did the Lord just reach down? The judgment seat of Christ, a judgment on Brother Jackson's family. No matter how you look at it, it's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
An ox recognizes its owner, a donkey recognizes where its owner puts its food. But Israel does not recognize me, my people do not understand. And here, Brother Jack be preaching for 40 years, preached his heart out, and they don't even recognize that it was Brother Jack doing the preaching. They got no respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it says here, they're rebelling against him. Because
yeah.
I was down there, and Paul Ellis, we went out for lunch, and he told me, if those preachers don't preach the way we feel they should be preaching, they have the rights to that church, and they can terminate them right there. And now, when I look back, what he said, we're in on it. We're 100% in agreement with that garbage that Alan teaches, that we're in the third day, polygamy in the millennium, all that filth, contrary to what Brother Jackson is preaching. So what is it? But they have rebelled against me. And ox recognizes its honor. Anyway, the sinful nation. Now, this is Faith Assembly. This is the Brother Jackson family. The sinful nation. As good as dead. See? They're as good as dead. I've been trying, I think, 3-4 messages I sent down to them.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well talk to an evergreen tree would respond more than what their response is. They continue down. They allow Ella to feed them anything.
Mm-hmm.
God knows what he's teaching them now. When that badger, or whatever his name is, that Jim Baxter sent us an email.
Barber.
Jim Barber. They're at the point already where all of a sudden Brother Branham is a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Branham was not who he says he is. What does that make Brother Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jackson, his whole ministry was revolved around Brother Branham being that church age
minister.
And here now, they come up. Their whole family's in on it. It's no use trying for me to mince words and to favor somebody. They're all in on it. Same with Alan.
Yeah.
There's two imposters. They're in on it. And that whole Jackson family, they're in on it too. Not one bleep out of them throughout the 18 years that Brother Jackson has been mutilated.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have it. A sinful nation.
Mm-hmm.
As good as dead.
Mm-hmm.
The people weighed down by evil deeds. Their offspring who do wrong. Children who do wicked things, they have abandoned the ministry of Brother Jackson, but he preached for 40 years, and rejected the Holy One of Israel, they are alienated from him. Come on, just look what Brother Jackson preached over the years, and what did he do now? Just look what Ellen teaches. That night, 2008, after that fall convention, after they tried to get Ellen to kind of take a look at this whole thing, what's going on here, that we're not in the third day. He finally came out, we're in the third day. Well, anybody knows we're not on the third day. Where's the 70th week of Daniel? Where's the restoration of Israel? Before you can get into that third day, you got to have the restoration of Israel. Anybody with a two cents of a brain can realize we're not on the third day. We're not in the third day. So here he comes out, we're in the third day. Wow, the different ones, the ministers, they came together and they wouldn't have nothing to do with that thing. And that was that fall convention 2008. And I was devastated, and the way they were mutilating Brother Jackson, Alan and Bud and the different ones. And these different ministers, Brother Governor and Brother Hefner and Brother David, they were trying to salvage, you know. Let them know we're not in the third day, and try to get them to own up to the fact. But he dug his heels down even more. And eventually that split came in. But that Saturday night, Sunday night, I was very disturbed and I couldn't sleep. And I saw Brother Jack, he came towards me. And he was so mutilated, you couldn't recognize. The only way I recognized was Brother Jack by his gait, the way he walked. That's how devastated Brother Jackson was, when they, Ellen and Bud, for 3 years, they've been doing everything nothing but mutilated, that the ministry has to step in. We can't take no more of that. We're not in the third day. And how God is looking at it, I just read here this morning in Hebrews, that we have such a cloud of witnesses. Brother Jackson is up there, sitting in the grandstand. He's not here anymore. But he's knowing everything that's going on. And he's having to swallow that instead of taking pride of the thing that he's taught for 40 years. What does he see? He sees nothing but mutilation. Nothing but, got to look down and see how they're mutilating him. Week in, year out. The only two people that are standing in defense of him is you and I. We're doing everything we can to uphold the things that he taught us. And they're not, same with Brother Branham. Now They're trying to tell us that Jim Barber trying to tell us that Brother Brennan was a fraud. Well, or that he was not the one who said he was. He was not that church age messenger. Well, what does that make Brother Jackson? That makes Brother Jackson even something worse. That for 40 years he would uphold a man that was nothing but a fraud. It was nothing but something. That completely terminated Brother Jackson, anything that he ever said. And it evolved into that. If we don't have this conversation here today, and if we don't say what we need to be said, otherwise nobody will say it. They'll just fall asleep, and they'll go down the road to destruction. Exactly where James Allen, that imposter, is trying to level back to take him to. They hate Brother Jackson for some reason with a passion.
They do.
A sinful nation as good as dead. The people weighed down by evil deeds. If tell you if that's not evil, having listening there and in on it, you know? Not one bleep out of none of them. They are offspring who do wrong, children who do wicked things. They have abandoned the ministry of Brother Jackson and rejected the Holy One of Israel. They are alienated from him. Completely. Like he never did exist. Why do you insist on being battered? Why do you continue to rebel? Your head has a massive wound. Your whole body is weak. From where you and I are looking at, and the friends of Brother Jackson, and we look at the Jackson family, how they are in on mutilating him, year in and year out. From the soles of your feet to your head, there is no spot that is unharmed. There are only bruises, cuts, and open wounds. They have not been cleansed or bandaged, nor have they been treated with olive oil. Your land is devastated. Your cities burned with fire right before your eyes. Your crops are being Right before your eyes, your crops are being destroyed by foreign invaders. They leave behind devastation and destruction. That's what it's all leading to. The other Zion is left isolated, like a hut in a vineyard or a shelter in a cucumber field. She is a besieged city. That's where all it is leading to. If God does not intervene, if the Lord who commands armies had not left us a few survivors, we would have quickly become like Sodom and would have become like unto Gomorrah. If there is not something here to stop this downward trend from the Jackson family and those that were sitting on the brother Jackson all these years, this is where they'll end up. They would have quickly become like Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord's word, you leaders of Sodom. Pay attention to our God's rebuke, people of Gomorrah. Of what importance to me are your many sacrifices, like your conventions and your getting together Sunday morning, says the Lord. I am stuffed with burnt sacrifices. Back then they had burnt sacrifices, mm-hmm. and whatever they did. But today they got their convention, they got their meeting, they got their Sunday morning services. Mm-hmm. I am stuffed with burnt sacrifices and rams and the fat from steers, the blood of bulls and lambs and goats I do not want. When you enter my presence, do you actually think I want this animals trampling on my courtyards? Yeah, like I said, back then it was animal sacrifice, but now they come together and do their powwows. Mm-hmm. Do not bring any more meaningless offerings. I consider your incense detestable. You observe new moon festivities, Sabbaths, and convocations, but I cannot tolerate sin-stained celebrations. Yeah. From what you and I said, and that's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's a charade. God is not even involved in them. Mm-hmm. I hate your new moon festivities and assemblies. They are a burden that I am tired of carrying. Mm-hmm. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I look the other way. This is what's happening. This is what Brother Jackson is doing. He's looking the other way. He sees them doing their powwows and their conventions and their what have you, but he looks the other way. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I look the other way. When you offer many prayers, I do not listen, because your hands are covered with blood. But here, there's hope. Wash, cleanse yourself, remove your sinful deeds from my sight. Stop sinning, learn to do what is right. Promote justice. Give the oppressed reason to celebrate. Take up the cause of the orphan. Defend the rights of the widow. Come, let's consider your options, says the Lord. Though your sins have stained you like the color of red, you become white as snow. Though they are as easy to see as color of scarlet, you can become white like wool. If you have a willing attitude and obey, then you will again eat the good crops of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Know for certain that the Lord has spoken. This is what I saw Thursday night. I know you were doing the reading, but it was like, you know, it was something supernatural to go. I heard Brother Jackson, he was complaining what his own family has made of him, how they've rejected and rebelled against him. Mm-hmm. He's brought up children, but they're foreigners, eh? Mm-hmm. I sent that Jackie Marshall. I couldn't understand how they can just sit there and listen to James Allen, that imposter, mutilate Brother Jackson, mm-hmm. day in and day out, mm-hmm. week in and week out. And they're not saying boo. And I let them know, Brother Jackson, he's more my pappy. He used to call him pappy. He's more my pappy than is your pappy. At least I stand up in defense of him. But what are you guys doing? You're just in on it. And I remember back after Brother Jackson had left the scene, we all thought, we didn't know what's going on. Anyway, I didn't. And I trusted Ellen and Bud that they'll just continue to take on this message continue on where Brother Jackson left off. Mm-hmm. But after 2-3 years, it became very obvious that's not happening. Because mm-hmm. Alan came out, we're in the third day, and different things came out. So I called him up. I said, I told him, I can no longer support you. You're preaching wrong. We're not in the third day. Mm-hmm. And there's no, he said, 4 parts of the first resurrection. There's 3 parts, but there's an A and a B to each one. And the different things he was teaching, I said, I can't support that. I'm no longer supporting you. Can't support you. And here's another thing, I said, we don't need Brother Bud to preach a convention. We need to hear the different ministers from Georgia preach a convention. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he didn't like what I told him, when I said I can no longer support you, he cut off sending the contenders mm-hmm. to me. He sent me contenders everywhere, so when they came and went out. But he cut the contenders off, gave orders, cut the contenders off. Mm-hmm. And he gave orders in the fellowship hall when Sam called, don't answer the phone. Don't listen to him. And then he twists what I said. I said, we don't need Brother Bud to preach at convention. We need to hear the ones from Georgia. You know what he says? Right? Sunday morning, gets up at convention time. Brother Bud, I'm going to have you preach. I had this call from this guy in Canada. He told me we don't need Brother Bud to preach. I said, we don't need to preach my convention. Mm-hmm. See, he's got that Antichrist spirit on him. Mm-hmm. He gives people half-truths. He should have said what I told him, he said. Exactly what I said is, we don't need to hear Brother Bud Thompson preach a convention. Mm-hmm. We need to hear the other ministers. That's what God tried for 3 years with Bud and Alan, to get them to a place where everybody would bring unity amongst the ministry. But what do? They start out society. Mm-hmm. They won't let them preach. And God was very displeased. That's the dream that Brother Jackson had when he was still here. He longed for the day. And he even told Alan and Bud, come here, Alan, come here, Bud. It's coming a day. We're going to step back, and we're going to let these ministers run these conventions. Mm-hmm. That's the plan that Brother Jackson had. But Brother Jackson is not a dictator. He just threw it out there, and then he was waiting for some feedback. But the feedback never came. And for 3 years, the Lord was trying to get Brother Alan and Bud to do that very thing. But the 3 years ran out, and then they rejected that old thing. And instead of doing that, Alan had Bud preach a convention. That's why I said, we don't need to hear Brother Bud preach a convention. We hear him around year round. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear what these other ministers have to say. The ones from Georgia. He gets up and he tells the people, I got this call from this person in Canada. They all know it was me. And he said, we don't need Brother Bud to preach. We don't need to hear Brother Bud preach. Well, see, just by omitting certain things, you're giving people a false impression. Mm-hmm. And to this day, they believe that's what I said. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, we don't need to hear him preach at a convention. And everybody was thinking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, that's that imposter. That was taking these people down to hell and death. Then I sent them a CD where Brother Allen taking the church to. And I don't know if they even read it. Maybe they do what he says when he sends calls, and when he sends something, just throw it in the garbage. Maybe they, I don't know whether, anything, but see, I did my part. Mm-hmm. The same we're doing when that Jim Barber sent us his email. We hammered that thing out of the park. Mm-hmm. And the same thing we're doing today. Now it's judgment. Now it's right in front of your face. Now this young couple, this girl, she doesn't have a husband to wake up to. Mm-hmm. It did. It's gone. The judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. The judgment on the Jackson family. Mm-hmm. And Paul Ellis, he's the king reader of this whole thing. Because he's the one that told me, if they don't preach right, if we don't agree with their preaching, we can terminate them in a heartbeat. Because mm-hmm. we have the rights to that church. Well, I thought, well, that's a good thing. So that tells me they're in on this thing. Mm-hmm. They're agreeing with it. Because he said, if we don't agree with, we could terminate them. Mm-hmm.
It's like when Lyle Cook went on his spiel that the cutoff for the Jews was in 53 when Paul shook the dust off his feet and went to the Gentiles. And Brother Jackson thoroughly went through a message where he said a cutoff happened in 33.
Yeah, he had five messages.
Mm-hmm. And not even that, when you go to Daniel 9, it will lay out to you what the cutoff is. At the crucifixion was the cutoff. That was the cutoff from the old covenant and that week of Daniel, and then the grace age set in. And then after the grace age is done, after those two days, then the week of Daniel begins. It's a time clock. And and he was distorting everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on his spiel like he always does. First it comes on so subtle, and then I asked him a simple question. I said, where do you get it that the cutoff for the Jews happened in 53 when Brother Jackson taught us it was the cutoff happened in 33 AD at the crucifixion? And he got all riled up and everything. But the thing of it is, what I want to say is this. After that, I withdrew from those people because their teaching was wrong. And then Luella texted me. She wanted to go out for coffee, so I went out for coffee. I think I was here in Brandon already. If not, then I was working here in Portage, I mean. And then we were sitting there at the restaurant, and she goes on and she says that they did not agree with the way that Lyle Cook handled that whole episode when I simply just asked a question where he gets it that the cutoff happened when Paul shook the dust off his feet and went to the Gentiles instead of what Brother Jackson taught us, 33 AD. So she went on to tell me that they did not agree with how he handled it. Mm-hmm. And I told her, you know, I don't care what they do to me. That does not bother me at all, how they treated me and what they said and what they did or did not do or what they could do and could not do. What bothered me was their teaching was wrong. And I said to her, if you are in a certain environment long enough, you become part of that environment.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to those people down in Faith Assembly. They watch Brother Jackson being mutilated, that what he taught and what he labored for all those years, how he labored, the effort, the sacrifices that he put in. He sacrificed spending time with his family just so to uphold the Word of God, to take a stand on the Word of God after Brother Brenham left, after he was...
Against all the Brenhamites.
Yes, after he was attacked by all those Brenhamites, by the movement, called all kinds of names, and his name pulled through the mud, but he stood firm. What his calling was and what God called him to do, he was faithful. And these people can sit and watch week by week how slowly, bit by bit, Ellen is tearing everything to shreds that he stood for, that he sacrificed his life for, and everything. They're just part of that environment.
Yeah.
If you do not stand up and take a stand,
yeah,
you are part of that environment. Yes, you are part of that mutilation.
Yeah.
Because you are not standing up and going against it. So that makes you a part of it.
It makes you a partaker, mm-hmm, of their evil deeds.
That's right.
This is evil in the eyes of God. Because here in Isaiah, it says so.
Mm-hmm.
Wickedness.
It is.
Being planned wicked. Mm-hmm. That the man would spend 40 years of his life, all he sacrificed, he made just to preserve the word that Brother Brenham brought, undefiled. Mm-hmm. Take all the two statements out that Brother Brenham brought in.
Brought in, and still...
And keep a line on the Word of God.
Keep a line and put Brother Brenham in his rightful perspective. Yeah. He never took away from Brother Brenham. In fact, he added to him.
Yeah.
He
made him stand head and shoulder.
Yes, he did. He added
he
to his
done.
Character. Yeah. You know, when you take statements that Brother Brenham said that are not biblically correct and you build on those, you are against Brother Brenham.
Yeah.
You're actually going against him. When you rightfully take what he said and correctly put it, that's uplifting the man. That's what made Brother Brenham shine.
Yeah.
Because Brother Jackson
put him in his rightful place.
He would take those dual statements and take them to the Word and bring them out and say what is right, and he build it on the foundation.
That's exactly what Brother Brenham told Brother Jackson. There's something fixing to happen. And when it does, you stay with that word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what you and I are doing.
That's right.
Brother Jackson said some things. He said back in 96 or so, we're in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
He said it'll be 2004 and a half, might go 2 years beyond.
Mm-hmm.
He said all these things. Well, of course he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the decade, now it's 2 decades ago, but that doesn't cause you and me to disrespect what he said. He was just saying it.
Mm-hmm.
He did because reasons of his own, but that doesn't make Brother Jackson obsolete, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, let me tell you, just for the sake of the conversation, the calendar's out exactly 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw during the night when I woke up with Brother Jackson, when you read Isaiah 1, and it falls right in line. These people are wicked. Now, God's judgment. Now, it starts with Paul Ellis, because he's the one that told me, like he's the ringleader of it all.
Mm-hmm.
He could stop it,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't stop it,
because
he told me he could. He could.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't he step up to the plate? Where's the backbone?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they stand up to this imposter? And God only knows what he's teaching now.
I listened to him at one time, and he was teaching on the 144,000. And if you ever heard a corrupted message, something so confusing, that's the message to listen to.
It's wicked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
derogatory.
It's unbelievable the way he can take something and just distort it. It kind of reminds me of what Obama said to Joe Biden. What did he say?
If you want to mess things up, give it to Joe.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
But a little rougher.
Yes, when he was vice president and Obama was president, he said, if you really want to mess something up, you just give it to Joe Biden, and sure as the day is day and the night is night, I'm just kind of adding that. He is going to mess it up. If you want something messed up, just give it to Joe Biden. And if you want something messed up in the scripture, just give it to
James Allen.
And
I'm not even going to call him Brother Allen.
And you will
find no more brother than nothing.
Uh-huh, and you will find it so messed up that you won't even know it's in the scripture.
But that's what I saw. And like I say, he's an imposter down there. He got handed to him almost like on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm.
He has been tried for that position.
Mm-hmm.
And then what really got me going, got me 212. Back in the day, I guess people started quit sending in their tithe money. So the tithe money was kind of going down.
Dwingling.
So guess what he does? He brings in Sister Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Use a Sister Jackson so people would send in their money like if you come don't send in money, Sister Jackson's not going to get her money, her funds, like the church apparently pays her for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he he was letting on like she's the first one that's going to be
affected
by it.
Mm-hmm.
Big son, Sister Jackson, I thought the low down of that snake.
Mm-hmm.
How low down can you get bringing Sister Jackson? And because people were beginning to question him because he was starting teaching things
mm-hmm.
that were questioned. Yeah. How can I send my money to something and somebody that I know is preaching wrong?
Mm-hmm.
There are people sitting in there, right? By now, they're probably all asleep already.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time when they questioned this polygamy in the millennium, the seven women going after one man in the millennium. There's people that question it. And then he kind of came out to explain it, kind of lulled them to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
See what it is. It's seducing spirits.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's all these seducing spirits. They're rampant on Alan and Bud. And these seducing spirits... And it evolves, now it's evolved into darkness and devils. Because the people have now kind of fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier, they're dead. And here's another thing, what people don't realize. There is Bud disintegrating right in front of their eyes. They don't see that it's God's judgment, God's vengeance
yeah,
on Bud Thompson. Because Bud Thompson knew for a fact we're nothing to turn to. The frogs even started chirping
mm-hmm.
differently.
That's right.
They even noticed that they were nothing the third day. And Bud Thompson, I know how he preached. I know how precise he was in that word of
mm-hmm.
God. But here he allowed Ellen to get away with, we're in the third day. And it's like there's one way to destroy Alan. I'll just let him preach his garbage and destroy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of stepping up,
yeah.
setting him down, have a conversation. We're not in the third day.
Mm-hmm.
Here, what does he do? He lets them preach his garbage, and then he lets them preach that the seven women and the millennium, and then he just kind of goes along, and he's doing it for one simple reason. I'm going down, I'm taking Ellen with
mm-hmm.
me. He just lets them preach whatever. He's like Jonah there when he went into Nineveh. He couldn't wait for the destruction of Nineveh. That's Bud. He couldn't wait for the destruction of a James Allen and for the destruction of Faith Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
That's just Bud Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord just pulled the plug on him, and there, day in and day out, week in and week out, they see how he disintegrates and don't realize it's got judgment on the man. They give it all kinds of names. His oxygen levels are going down, and they got these words just to kind of lull people to sleep, instead of coming out, this is God's judgment on that man, because he's starting to teach things
mm-hmm.
that were contrary to Brother Jackson. He's mutilating Brother Jackson. He should have said that, instead of trying to find excuses for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I called his one person, he said, "What?" I asked, what's wrong with Bud? I'm not preaching anymore. And he said, well, it depends who you ask. Some people are trying to defend them, some people, but he said, I think he's got dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a year after he quit preaching. But the last time I heard him preach, I think it was his last message. I know that guy's not going to preach very long.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't even read right.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw right then and there, God pulled the plug on him. And I know how he used to preach. He was so precise
mm-hmm.
on that word. And it was fun. It was a pleasure listening to him. But now, all of a sudden, there's nothing there. God just pulled the plug on him. Simply because he let Alan get away with preaching during
mm-hmm.
the third day. And see, the judgment seat of Christ. But now, it's coming to home. It's coming to the Jackson family. And it's God's judgment on him. That's what they think of Brother Jackson. They're in on mutilating Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anything. But that's what I saw the other night. Like, almost like a miracle. Because
mm-hmm.
I was for 3-4 days when you went on the internet and you came out. You don't pass away. You know that Paul Ellis' daughter's husband went to sleep and he didn't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to find the mind of the Lord. As I read in the Bible, Jesus asked the keys to hell and death. That was death. Jesus knows all about it. But Jesus, what is your take on
mm-hmm.
it? And for days, 3-4 days, minding the Lord. I'm not going to bring my own take and what happened or what didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord gives me this here, mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 1. And here, listen, hear ye heavens. And Brother Jackson doing the speaking. Yet I know it was you, but I heard Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's that chapter. For this is judgment on the Jackson family now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you better do something about it. You better do what it says here. Cleanse yourself.
Exactly.
Wash yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Repent. Do whatever it takes to restore what Brother Jackson taught
mm-hmm.
you. Otherwise, and if we don't have this conversation, guess what? They'll just continue the downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So God sent to end his judgment on an innocent little girl,
mm-hmm.
a young family, and I'm sure it devastated everybody in the Jackson family, mm-hmm. plus those at Faith Assembly, and they don't even know why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is why it happened,
mm-hmm.
because you're following these lies and this invader,
mm-hmm.
an imposter, and you're not saying boo. You're just going along with it. That means you're in on it,
mm-hmm.
just like this corruption in the States, you know, with this stolen election. All these politicians, like Mike Lindell keeps saying, either they're in on it or they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the same thing. If you don't say nothing against it, you're in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the same thing. If you don't protest, like you and I, we didn't go along. We did the only thing we could do. We can't go up and fight with these people. But what we can do, we can do what the Bible, withdraw from
mm-hmm.
such withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
When Eliah came out with this spiel, I just withdrew. Because, well, I'm in no position. He's the leader here. I'm in no position to go up there and debate
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
I let him know I'm not on it. I'm not, when he came out, first of all, with that, the Great Tribulation, I took him aside. I said, I hope we're not coming up with a new revelation. You're loud. It's pretty obvious. That Great Tribulation happened in 69 A.D. So he was quiet for a year, and then he come at it from about the midnight cry. And I told him there, too. Where did he get to? Yep, I told him there again. I hope you're not coming up with a... That's what I told him. I hope you're not coming out with a new revelation, the midnight cry. Well, it's not really a revelation. It's a thought. I said to myself, a thought? A thought, well, you're deceiving the people. Eventually, people will believe you. That midnight cry happened in 1963. That's when the midnight cry was. And he was letting on. See, the thing of it is, these seducing spirits, they don't tell you the truth. They don't tell you where they're going. Like that serpent in the garden. He didn't tell Eve here what I'm about to do is mess up this whole plan of God. And here's the same thing. When you mentioned Brother Jackson back when he was telling... When you ask Lyle where you get this from, when Brother Jackson said it's 33 A.D., that's like a red flag. When Brother Jackson into the cooks, Brother Jackson's name is like a red flag
mm-hmm.
in front of that bull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they do that bullfighting.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason or another, it's pretty well all around.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jackson's name is not being mentioned anymore because it's like a red flag. They hate Brother Jackson with a passion.
Mm-hmm. See, when the Lord saved me, I was on the calling for 7 years, and I read a lot of books.
Uh-huh.
I searched things out. There were so many things I searched out, and and I read, and I had questions about, and I knew the realm of Christianity. Let's say that. I knew the whole scope of Christianity, what's out there.
Yeah.
And I was on the colony because of listening and reading a lot of books and listening to a lot of preachers and a lot of shows and stuff like that on the radio. That when I came to the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson, I knew what was out there and I knew what was the truth and I knew when somebody was taking it from the Bible and when something wasn't real. Because I had searched things
mm-hmm.
out for 7 years. I didn't just pop out of the sky. So when these people started coming up with their false teaching, you kind of wonder, where did these people actually come from? You know, where did they actually come from? Because I had searched these things out, and they take it upon themselves to pervert it and to change things that were taught by a chief apostle, and they think and by a prophet, they think they can just take the liberty and decide for themselves that that's what they're gonna do. Just and you kind of wonder if these people are actually Christians, if you know where they're from, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're just people off the street. Mm-hmm. So the proof's in the pudding. Bible Isaiah calls them wicked. Mm-hmm. Well, with me, it's the same thing. I spent 10-15 years digging every book. I said it before. I'm saying it for the sake of conversation, mm-hmm. to put Brother Benham in his rightful place. I was want to know what happened in Genesis 6. Mm-hmm. What caused God to bring a flood. To the point where he even said it repented and that even made man. Mm-hmm. What catastrophic event took place in Genesis 6 where the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were afraid they took unto wife. I'm tearing myself to shreds trying to figure it out. Buying all these books. And one day when I heard Brother Branham, once I come to the ministry, Brother Branham, the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain. Mm-hmm. He brought that answer to me. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're trying to tell me Brother Brennan was a fraud, when I spent 10-15 years of my life finding out, trying to search out what happened in Genesis, and here along come Brother Ben, and in a heartbeat, mm-hmm. he just opens up and he gives me mm-hmm. the answer. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to work overtime to convince me otherwise, and, mm-hmm. and then you can't do it. Nobody will ever be able mm-hmm. to do it, because now I'm locked in. He's the one that brought me that what happened in Genesis 6. Mm-hmm. And then, after 3 years, the Lord took me to Brother Jack, and I'm still searching for something. All my life, for 40 years of my life, I'm searching. I'm searching for this something. I don't know what I'm searching for. But yet, there's an emptiness inside my soul, inside my spirit. I'm still searching. The ministry of Brother Branham didn't do it. It helped me a little bit, but it didn't satisfy that thing that like that deer that pants for that water mm-hmm. brook. And so my soul longed after this something, mm-hmm. wherever it is, whatever it is. And then this guy puts in a tape from Brother Jackson, the 70th week of Daniel or something. And there I knew exactly this is what I've been looking for. And now somebody's going to tell me that Brother Jackson was nothing. Mm-hmm. And that Brother Brent was a fraud when these two people entered my soul, mm-hmm. answered my question.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to work over. Even then you wouldn't be able to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm locked in. I know what Brother Brenham did for me with that Genesis 6. And I know what happened in my soul and my spirit when I heard Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. Like you told that Danny mm-hmm. Funk, I know what happened when I heard Brother Jackson.
Absolutely.
And here again, mm-hmm. I know what happened in my soul. I cast this man. Who is this man that will take the word of God with precision accuracy and place it exactly where it belongs? Mm-hmm. What that Danny Funk I asked. Mm-hmm.
And to me it was like when I came to the ministry of Brother Jackson, I felt like David, the Ark of the Covenant came yeah. back. And I felt like dancing. My spirit was dancing. Because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. Down there at Faith Assembly there in the ministry of Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. All throughout the world, whoever was under that Brother Jackson ministry was that Ark of the Covenant.
That anointing was there.
That anointing was there. And it was the most glorious thing that I've ever experienced in my entire life. I've had many experiences in my life, like many moments where I spent with the Lord. But when I came to that part in my life, I had never felt something like that in my life.
I remember I was going, like my brother Jack was still around. Like you go to church here, it was the same anointing, mm-hmm. man, 11. Then I would go to Moncton, that same anointing. I'd go to Phoenix, that same anointing. No matter where you went, that same anointing just filled the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And like when Bert Jackson went off the scene, I thought it'll continue. But see what happened. Everybody was under that, but they hadn't been tested mm-hmm. yet. So the Lord takes Bert Jackson off the scene, and he takes that anointing with him. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to see, like Bert Jackson kept saying over and over, know what you believe and know why you believe mm-hmm. it. Now we're going to see what people are going to do with what the things that you've been taught. Remember the things you've been taught. Mm-hmm. You remember who you've been taught them from. And here, guess what happens? A year later, a few years later, there's nothing left of the ministry of Brother Jackson. When we started hanging out together, he went to the Lord. Lord, what? How come you put us together? And ever since you put us together, we've been doing nothing but being terrorized, persecuted, accused of things that we're completely innocent of. And here, why is this going on? The Lord spoke to you just to preserve this truth. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing here now, mm-hmm. preserving this truth. Mm-hmm. That's why we're going after this Brother Jackson's family, you know. They're the worst, you know. Mm-hmm. They're watching there year in and year out how Brother Jackson is being mutilated. Mm-hmm. By taking, you can't really mutilate the body of Brother Jackson mm-hmm. because he's in the ground. But his character, mm-hmm. his contenders, the things he stood for mm-hmm. over the years, how he preached his heart out, you mutilate that. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, this is true mutilation. And that's what I saw. After that fall convention, Sunday night service, why did he come towards me? He was trying to show me something. This is what they're doing to me. Can't wait to mutilate me. And the family's the worst. Mm-hmm. They let it happen, you know. They could stop it, and they don't.
Yeah.
All I was told, they stop it in a heartbeat. If they preach something that they don't approve of, they can terminate it. Why don't they do it? Where's his backbone? Mm-hmm. Let's go along to get along. That guy's an imposter. Same with that Kevin. Kevin Craze one day. Raul, I believe you when you say we're in the third day. I agree with you 100%. Well, he's in on it. Mm-hmm. Hey, fool knows that we're not in the third day. First, before you hit the third day, the restoration of Israel has to be. After 2 days, he'll revive us. It doesn't say after 3 days. It says over in Isaiah, after 2 days, he'll revive us. He's going to revive Israel again. Mm-hmm. He's going to, the 70th week of Daniel has to come in. How could he be in the third day? And then that after 2 days, that's even worse. If you're after 2 days, where are you? Where's the week of Daniel here? The week of Daniel is one of the most important eras in time because, and it is the restoration of Israel. Mm-hmm. And it is the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it is all this thing that's happened the first 3.5 years to do. 1,260 days. It all happens here, the first part of that week.
You can just see what the devil is attacking through all that when you look at all the after 2 days, the third day, the midnight cry, when Paul shook off the dust of his feet. These are all tactics of the devil, how he's using it to hide time.
Yeah.
So people don't know the day and hour they're living in. And then there's other ones who don't want to go there, paranoia. You know, don't want to, you know, no one knows the day and the hour when it has nothing to do with the day and hour.
It has to do with the restoration of
Israel.
That's right.
We're talking about the week of Daniel when the 2 days are done and the week of Daniel starts. We're not talking about the rapture. The rapture is...
The rapture will take care of itself.
Exactly. Nobody is talking about the day and hour of the rapture. And nobody is giving you a day and hour for the rapture. When the Bible says in about half an hour, that lets you know that how God hid it, about half an hour. It like when you go through all the when you break everything down, when it says 42 months, we know in the mind of God, 42 months is a 30-day month. And we know that 1,260 days is 42 months, and it is 3.5 years. But when the Bible says in about half an hour, You know, God is not giving you the day of the rapture.
Yeah.
Because even if he would give you the day and the hour of the rapture, he can't because of the time zone being different all around the world. And God is so precisely accurate with everything he does. It's amazing.
He leaves no stone unturned. Yes.
And so that's why nobody is giving you a day and nobody is giving you an hour.
But he is making sure, he made sure that you and I get that Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure that you and I know exactly right to the day when he's going to start restoring Israel, when that week starts, when the great age is done. February, I know I keep saying February, October the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it yesterday, exactly. Brother Jack's 2004 and a half. Add 17 years to it, you come to exactly 21 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of October came that, the 2 days are done now.
Mm-hmm.
You take it to the Mayan calendar, see the Mayan calendar, it quit in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people thought. The Mayan the world will end in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the Mayan calendar quits in 2012. Now you add 17 years, by the time 2029 is over, the Mayan calendar has no more, doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go into the millennium, the Mayan calendar doesn't. It just goes into civilization as we know it.
Yeah.
Seasons reign.
Mm-hmm.
And it shuts right 28, 29 thereabouts. And it's exactly right on. These three things dovetail together.
Yeah.
Brother Jackson's 4 and a half, the Mayan calendar, and the Midnight Cry.
Mm-hmm.
Like see how you can tie all these three things together? At midnight there was a cry, you had 57 to midnight, and you come to 2021. His age is over, period. Jesus is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's over there restoring, bringing Israel back. Arise and shine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not going to happen 24 hours. It's the process is on the way, you know. It hasn't finished its peak yet. It hasn't reached its peak. But, and we said, we used to think all of a sudden, one day, all of Israel. But there again, it's just one family apart, family by family.
Mm-hmm.
You go out, and that family all of a sudden will see. They see the light.
Mm-hmm.
They see that Jesus was the Messiah.
That's right.
Then he goes to the other family, and they'll see that Jesus was dead. And you're going to see some things changing. And here, last week, a few weeks ago, we had a prayer about Jesus.
Bring everything under the obedience.
Bring everything under the obedience of Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, you're going to see the Supreme Court is in favor with Jesus Christ. All these entities, because we brought everything under the obedience of Jesus Christ, really under the obedience of the Word of God, has now eminence.
Things because Jesus is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thought I'd bring that in. I don't know what I'll do anything with the letter. See, these power trials, you can explain this in a few words. That nature, that human nature that was back there, and that conversation that the mother of the sons of Zebedee, she came falling down at Jesus' feet, worshiping him. Really, this is really something. We want this big job. We want this highfalutin job. And that's part of the human race, human nature to this very day. Everybody wants this highfalutin job. And here, Jesus said, it's not for me to give. It's already ordained from my Father in heaven before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it has always been our prayer. Lord, help us find our place in Christ. We don't want, if I'm a doorkeeper, that's all I ever want to be.
Right.
I never did want a big job. Or I didn't even know this thing here was available, this rolling out, this living water. I always wondered, I wonder what that living water is. And here the Lord has honed us out before the foundation of the world to deliver that living water and to bring forth that meat in due season. Like I say, I never had no ambition to be anything other than a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Love to sit and listen.
Yeah, but when you look at when Jesus said, can you drink the cup? There's so many people that are so busy saving their own skin that they cannot stand up and speak out against what's going on in this truth. And all around, they're just going along to get along. Mm-hmm. And the people who do speak out, they're considered as haters, and they're considered as word perverters, and they're considered as people that that they hate. That's why Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup?"
Well, yeah, that's the title of the message. Can you drink the cup? Well, they want this position.
Yes, they want the position, but they do not want like Esau. He wanted the blessing, but he didn't want the birthright. He didn't want the responsibility yeah. that came along with having the birthright. Jacob. He wanted it. He desired it. He longed for it. He wanted that birthright. And he went through, like, working and slaving away for Lebanon for how many years? 14, 20 years up there. And he couldn't even see his own mother again.
Yeah.
And so he had to. And he wanted it. He desired it, that blessing, that birthright. And Esau, he just wanted a blessing. He just wanted the wealth, and he just wanted that part. But there's something deeper. When you follow Christ, there is a blessing in being persecuted, in being and hated by all men. And there's in it is that real blessing.
Well, it's simply this: like you can step back and analyze it. It's all about finding your place in Christ. The devil does not want you to find your place in Christ because these angels and Jews, they lost their place in God. And see, when we're born in this world, we're born in sin, sheep, and iniquity. Come into this world speaking like completely alienated from what God created us to be. The only place where there is satisfaction, where there is peace, if you can get yourself to place where you can find your place in Christ. Mm-hmm. Therein is everything.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to that place, you're going to be persecuted. Satan will throw everything at you to just divert you. And that's, like I say, that's always just been my desire. I don't know why I pray that prayer. Lord, help me find my place in Christ. Lord, use me for your glory. It's just something deep down in my soul. Because I somehow knew that's the only place where there is satisfaction. Mm-hmm. That's all I ever prayed for my children, that they find a place in Christ. Then everything is hunky dory. Everything is good. Then you're back in the mind of God where he created you to be, back in that great council that he had with himself before there was even a star or anything. But see, people wanted to take this thing by force.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to go through, can you drink the cup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The title is, can you drink the cup?
Mm-hmm.
They want to get this by hook or by crook, by stealing it from somebody else, by you can see it all around you, by getting rid of the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Then they figure they got it. But no, even if you do happen to get it, like David's got it down from, stole it from Tim Rutherford,
mm-hmm.
even if you get it that way, you still don't have nothing.
No.
The only one that gets it, Satan has now access
to it. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Just like he did in the garden. He got Adam and Eve, deceived them, and then he took the rights back. And now he's got the own kingdom, and he's the prince of this world by stealing it. But nobody has a benefit for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All we get out of that is a bunch of weeds and wild animals and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But really, there's no point there, no advantage in it. But see, we're still hanging in there. Eventually, at the end of the day, we're going to get our reward because we got it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
We got it through, we drank the cup, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want people to go through what I had to go through, but see, the Lord had to take me through that so that he can give us that reward. I couldn't even, like I say, the family is the worst, simply because we have a passion and desire. We want our place in Christ. That's the bottom line. And we're willing to drink that bitter cup. Gladly drink it. Within his persecution, but it's good persecution. It's the power of God unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else. The highest thing the highest privilege from 6,000 years of sojourn that he would bring you and I through this persecution, through this perseverance, simply to bring out that living water. We had to go through that so that we would qualify to bring that living water and to bring forth that meat in due season. And like I say, we didn't know what that's available. We didn't. Mm-hmm. I used to wonder, what is that living water anyway? Well, here we're bringing it out, and all you got to do is drink it, partake of it, and you got the same reward we have. It's no use being jealous over us. We're just doing our job. And like I said, there are a lot of people that are jealous. Well, are you willing to drink the cup? Are you willing to drink the cup? Then don't be jealous if you're not willing to drink the cup. That's all I can say. I don't know what else to say. It's pretty simple. From where you and I are sitting at, we see things so crystal clear. How it works. The 1,000 to 160 days, and then blessed is he that comes to 1,335 days. I did a math yesterday, and 1,260 days, add 75 to that, and you come right up to
the
beginning of the millennium. Mm-hmm. It says, blessed is he that comes to that dirt, that day.
Mm-hmm.
And man, back then it was such a confusing picture, but now as we get to know, it's so simple, it can't be any other way. How can people not see it? 1,260 days. So simple.
Mm-hmm.
From when? When does it start? It starts when it begins to restore Israel, when that Yom Kippur, even given with a feast, Yom Kippur. And you and I, once God made sure there's some in the planet Earth that's going to know exactly when that Yom Kippur started.
Mm-hmm.
Or when that Yom Kippur feast is. February 15th. October the 15th, 2021. You can set your watch on it. From there, you count 1,260 days. That's when that Pope kills 10 prophets. And you can be rest assured. That's why that word about. We do not know that rapture, but we know one thing. It will not happen before that, but it will not happen too far into that, because now, here's what the bride is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we're the next on his hit list. Got to keep saying it over and over so people get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because out there is such a world of confusion and such a darkness and such a deceptive world that's out there that they can't handle the truth, you know? And here we're just, it's so simple. Way back before the foundation of the world, God had it all mapped out, planned out. Before there was a star, before there was nobody there, it was the great Elohim, the great self-existing one. There was no Jesus there. There was nothing there. There was just that whole vast universe. Not even a universe was there. That space. And that whole, that great self-existing one. And then he had a plan. He made a blueprint. And he said he's going to see to it that everything goes right according to that blueprint. And here we are down at the end of it all, getting ready for the marriage of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
The something that he longed for way back in that council. He longed for that day when Jesus Christ is going to get married. And here we're part of it. We're rolling out his living water.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like we're just the best. We're just using he's just using our vocal cords. We're trying our best, and we fail by leaps and bounds, but we're trying to get the point across, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but this thing about, can you drink the cup, you know? Everybody wants it. Everybody wants that position. But can you drink the cup? Can you go through what we've gone through, had to go through? Well, I didn't mind. I'm not complaining. And it was joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 24/7 bodyguards. Oh, man. Look at the blessings we've had. We have to see the world. Able to go to Israel. Able to hang out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy the scenery and the canyons and the valleys and the rivers. And oh, man, it just... We were able to enjoy the two of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving by myself a long time, and I wish I was somebody along that I could share all this beauty. And the Lord brings you along, and driving through these valleys, through Nevada, and through all these, the Grand Canyons, and all these things. Now it's the two of us enjoying it, you know? Mm-hmm. Nothing but blessings. Yeah, there's rejection. It's all right. I don't mind. Look where it's got us to. Mm-hmm. Got us to that place where God qualifies us to roll out that living water. Mm-hmm. In fact, he did that back before the foundation of the world, but he had to take us through all this, what we've gone through, to qualify us, to prepare us for doing it, you know, without getting a big head, without thinking we're something. Like I say, can you drink the cup? You want the job? Well, can you drink the cup? Well, you don't want to drink the cup? Well, at least you could do is come on board, believe what we're saying. I'd say to the Jackson family, if we don't address this thing with the Jackson family, I saw it last night, they're just going to continue down that spiral where I was taking them out to hell and death. Mm-hmm. But they dare to stop them, because they don't know why that young man didn't wake up in the morning.
And you don't even know how happy Brother Jackson is that we are addressing it.
Having a good day up at the grandstand.
Yes, yeah. I feel it.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I'm not disillusioned.
No. One thing we're not.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. That the anointing that when you felt under Brother Jackson, I felt that yesterday because he knew we were addressing it and I felt his spirit was happy.
Mm-hmm. With that Jen Barb, we had to put him back where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Jackson was happy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little sheepish. My brother Brad was furious because I kind of was passive on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you better deal with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like when that Cannon called me going down to pick up his girlfriend, the Lord came and said, hey, you're pretty passive with that ordeal. You better take charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called him up. And it's the same thing. And I wanted to know, Lord, what's going on? This young man, I'm getting up in the morning. A young wife, two kids. And you know all about it because I kept repeating in my head, Jesus has the key to hell and death. Jesus, you know all about it. What's the scoop here? What is your take on this? That's like I say when you read Isaiah 1. It looks pretty rough, but it's spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard him Thursday night. It was Brother Jackson reading it. And it was Brother Jackson, that's what they've done to me. That's my mom family. I brought up these children, but they've become rebellious. They're just like it says in here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my kids. And German, it really brings it there. You have a king that I've consumed. Obviously, seen from me, I'm giving him.
Mm-hmm.
This in Schanfleck and the Nickbine Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
German, it really brings it out. An ox knows this.
The German language is a little bit better because I don't know from where James
translated it from.
I don't know what language he translated it from, but for some reason there is more accuracy in the German.
The Luther translation.
Yes, there is more accuracy because when you compare it to the Arabic one, there is a lot more accuracy with the German language one other than the King James because it's hard to translate. It is really hard to find the proper words when you translate from one language to the next because in German there are so many better words. Yes, that you cannot find the accurate word to describe in English. I always say English is a little bit of a sloppy language. German is more of there's more structure to the German language.
Like when we're singing that song, we sing a song every morning at 2 or 3, which keeps our sanity, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And get up in the morning and praise God, like,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of these songs are prayer, mm-hmm. like pray in the day. Wie ein Vogel lieblich singen. We sang it yesterday. And then that second verse, Manner ist die, how are you going to translate it? Manner ist die Nacht gerade in und glicke große Not. Manner auch an alle Gnade hingerissen durch den Tod. And what I'm trying to translate it, I can't really translate it. I can only try to give you like this floods down in Kentucky. These people, they get up at the night and their house is full of water.
Mm-hmm.
Many a one down in Kentucky got up that morning or during the night, and there the water is running into the house, mm-hmm. and throughout the day, disaster, you know, mm-hmm. strikes them.
Yes.
There it is, then, song. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine now, I think there are up to 15 or some people dead, mm-hmm. probably a lot more, because that rain, it comes in like a flood, and all of a sudden, your house is underwater, your car is underwater, and the disaster, you know. Mm-hmm. It says it all in four lines. And then the next guy, he doesn't even wake up in the morning. He's mm-hmm. dead.
He doesn't even have the grace to go on the next day.
Yeah.
Just taken away.
Manner ist nach innen glick. Manner auch an alle Gnade. And one, without grace, he is mm-hmm. ripped mm-hmm. right over into the region beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight. In a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
See, we sing these songs, and it's important to the Lord that we do that, because it's kind of a prayer to prevent disaster from striking you. If we do our part, then God is not mocked, you know. Disaster will come, but if you pray it up, at least you'll be ready when it does come.
Mm-hmm.
God will have something to like we pray it up, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, because in German would say, the Mensch ist gewohnt, in English you would say, man is a creature of habit. You know, after a while, you fall into a humdrum. And you have to, every day, try to keep on top of it. You know, every day striving. So these things don't come upon you unaware.
Yeah.
That you are on top of it, that you are prayed up, and that you're aware of what's going on. And God can, when you stay close to Him, He will give you the necessary things to make it through the day.
Like for 3 days, the mining of the Lord. What happened down there, Lord? What's your take? The sparrow. You know all about a sparrow fall. How much more here? A young man not getting up, leaving two children orphaned mm-hmm. and a widow. You're well aware of what's the take. And there again, there it is. Isaiah chapter 1. Go read it. But it's, instead of Isaiah reading it, you were reading it, and then during the night, instead of you reading it, with Brother Jackson reading it, and Brother Jackson referring to himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing to me, Sam. Mm-hmm. Sam. That's the answer to that. That's why judgment is striking that family, mm-hmm. that Brother Jackson. To wake them into reality. Mm-hmm. To shut them into reality. That they need to repent. They need to change course. Because
mm-hmm.
if we don't say it, guess what? They're already asleep. They're already dead. Because it says on here. Say so. They're dead. They just continue to spiral down. They won't even know. Because mm-hmm. they don't have the... They can't touch the heart of God like you and I can.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to the Lord. Yeah, it took 3 days. But then the answer came. And it came like a whoop. And I knew it was the Lord mm-hmm. speaking. That's what his take is on this Jackson family.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, 17 years, 18 years, they've been mutilating Roger Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're actually, when it comes right down to it, they hate what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
They're rebelling. They're wicked. They need to repent. That's why he's giving them a little... He's reaching an olive branch out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Wash yourself. Clean yourself. Get away from this imposter.
You know, get away from your own carnality.
Oh.
You know, walk in the Spirit So you can find out what your dad really stood for, what he really was sacrificing for. Then you will open, you'll have ISAF, you know. You will see what your dad stood for. It wasn't something like Ellen demoralizing everything. You
because
know?
It's so subtle. Half-truths.
Get away from
the
finality.
We're from Canada. We don't need but to preach. Mm-hmm. We don't need... He did it so... Oh, man, wickedly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to hear Brother Bud preach. Leaves the impression, you know. Oh, I say we don't need to hear my convention.
Mm-hmm.
We come to convention. We long to hear Dennis Bailey. I never heard Dennis Bailey preach. I tell you, very wicked person, that Alan. He's taking these people down to hell and death. He doesn't even know it. He's feeding them leavened bread. You know, go back to the old time. See what happens when they partook of leavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making these things up. We just read the Bible. We're just repeating what the Bible says. And we know the effort we have to put in to stay on course.
Mm-hmm.
We know the price we have to pay. Nobody wants to drink. Nobody wants to drink the cup. Well, there's a bitter cup to drink. We want to stay on course. Heavenly Father, we just had a conversation around your word, Lord. I just pray you'll take what's been said, Lord, and not enough person can say, Lord, if you don't give that increase, Lord, all our effort is in vain, Lord. If you don't open the hearts of the people, Lord, it's all just so much said, Lord. We come against every weapon, every word or deed, or everything that is formed against us, Lord. You see these invisible forces are out to distort us, to make us irrelevant, to make us that we don't rate, that trying to make us inapplicable, throwing us in inapplicable buck, Lord. These forces are out there, Lord. We just come against them, Lord, and we bring everything under the obedience of Jesus Christ. All these politicians, everything that in the Western Hemisphere, we know where Europe has to go. We just bring that U.S. and Canada. And its politicians, we bring everything under the obedience of Jesus Christ. And once again, we come against every weapon that would be formed against us. Every word or deed in a negative fashion that's spoken against us will not prosper. But we send it back to the sender where it comes from. Those people that have evil intent, Lord. You know exactly who they are, Lord. And we just pray to give us grace to continue on this journey, Lord. Do with us as you see fit. Use us for your honor and for glory, Lord. Once again, most of all, we ask the gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I know more I could say, like, can you drink the cup?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if these two fit together, but
I think they do.
Somehow, I wanted to, that's what the Lord be dealing with me Sunday on. Can you drink the cup? Why be jealous over Sam? Can you drink the... Did he go through what he went through?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just come on board and enjoy the scenery and you get the same reward according to my Bible?
Mm-hmm.
He that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet
mm-hmm.
will receive a prophet's reward. You're getting the same reward we're getting if you can only come and believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And, why be jealous? I mean, you want to... You don't want to go through what I had to go through. But I can't really, I'm glad I didn't want to come in at all. We got to know God, eh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was more blessings than anything. But that's when you drink the cup. Can you stand up and tell these Brother Jackson family what's going on? Because there's going to be some backlash, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to roll out the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Not right away, anyway. But?
These things just don't happen. Like, it says in Psalm, like, God blesses you with a full life, 70 years. And if you're taken away in your 30s, that's not living out your life.
Yeah.
That's not being able to live out your life that God has.
And it's all because Brother Jackson's family brought it on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That guy couldn't even watch his children grow up.
Yeah, we live in an environment that people think it's the norm. You know,
yeah,
it's the
they'll
norm.
Explain it away. Yeah. They'll give it. They'll take it to the autopsy. Oh, had a heart attack or something, or maybe took the J, whatever. But they'll not tell them it's a judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's God's vengeance. For 18 years, projected, we had to sit on the grandstand. All these people up in the grandstand, they see their offspring, bring them good thoughts, a good thing. Here, Brother Jack, that's the sin of the grave, because I just read it in Hebrews. We have a cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone on before us. They're up on the grandstand cheering us on. There's nothing there to cheer on. From his family, his children. His own children sit there, and he expresses himself through Isaiah, through telling me exactly what he thinks of them, what they've made it. Not a very happy grandstand thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until we address it, now he's happy. Somebody has to address it.
Mm-hmm.